we're talking about the relationship between Rabbi Nachman Schus Hagen Aleinu and some of his foremost disciples, foremost Talmidim. The sugya of Rabbi Nachman and his Talmidim and his disciples, his Chassidim, is itself a very, very big one. We were up to talking about the Tzaddik, the Chaykel, the Chazm. We'll get back to that in a minute. There was something that I saw the other day that I felt that I must share with you, to have a little bit of a hergish, a feeling, a little bit of a hergish for how Rabbi Nachman affected the Talmidim, and the Talmidim of the Talmidim. So we were zeichet to have a translation of a first hand account. The English page that you have, the side that doesn't say two on it, right? The person has to know what that one is one without it having to say on it. Well, it says Evan Marcel on the right hand side of the page, and the stone despised, this has come from Hashem. You see that? Yeah, everybody have the place? So a little bit of English shall go very quickly. And then we'll continue talking about some of the tzaddikim, his talmidim, and we'll talk about Reb Naftali and Reb Nosson, Bez Hashem. Reb Pinchas Yehoshua gives a little bit of background regarding this tzaddik. Reb Pinchas Yehoshua was the son of Reb Isaac, the scribe, a very close disciple of Reb Nosson. He was extremely poor, yet well known for his piety and great devotions. Once a very poor person who had no children was about to pass away, he called for Reb Pinchas Yehoshua and asked him to recite Kaddish. In return, he would leave his children to Reb Pinchas Yehoshua for his son. Reb Pinchas Yehoshua agreed. A few weeks later, an extremely wealthy person, also childless, was about to pass away. He also wanted Reb Pinchas Yehoshua to recite Kaddish for him. The wealthy man was willing to leave Reb Pinchas Yehoshua enough money to support him for many years, but Reb Pinchas refused. "I am already reciting Kaddish for someone else," he told him. Reb Pinchas Yehoshua was afraid the poor person for whom he had already begun saying Kaddish might object, as his request was first. So we're talking about a great tzaddik. Remember, we're dealing here with a tzaddik who didn't actually learn by Rabbi Nachman, but it was by Rabbi Nosson. And that's why, in many ways, it's even more powerful. So what is told of this tzaddik Reb Pinchas Yehoshua? One day, Reb Pinchas Yehoshua made the pilgrimage to Rabbi Nachman's gravesite in Uman, together with the Ram Steinhardt and Ramat Lashaychid, both of whom were very close to him. The three of them prayed there for many hours. Rav Ram Steinhardt writes, "As we turned to leave Rabbi Nachman's gravesite, Reb Pinchas Yehoshua began to tremble with great trepidation. My friends," he said, "I looked at myself and I saw that I have been reincarnated time and again into this world." He then began detailing the various generations in which he lived. He said that he had been alive in the time of a certain Tana, and then in the generation of a particular tzaddik. As he spoke, Reb Pinchas Yehoshua weighed his every word, the tremendous truth being clear. We believed him because we knew of his greatness and his incredible devotion to God. He even told us how many times his soul had already come back to this world. Reb Pinchas Yehoshua found it was very difficult to understand why he, of all people that there were in the world when his soul was first incarnated, why he alone should have to endure this. We need to go through so many lifetimes, so many Gilgulim. The Tana rectified other souls, why not his? Why did he have to suffer so many incarnations? Reb Pinchas Yehoshua began saying to himself, "How come my soul was left without its rectification? How come I was left in the depths, in the abyss of my sins, so that I had to come down again? Perhaps I'll be rectified the second time around." Then he told us that he came back in the generation of a different tzaddik. This tzaddik worked to rectify the Jewish souls and bring them back to their source, but again his soul was left without its tikkun, and he had to return again and again and again. "I tried as hard as I could to understand why this was happening," but Pinchas Yehoshua continued. "Finally, I realized that I alone was responsible for my fate. I myself, my difficult nature and improper deeds were what made it impossible for anyone to ever provide me with a tikkun. Have I not learned in the Gemara that the tzaddikim are builders? Right? The tzaddikim are al tikri banayach lebanayach. That's just at the end. It's at the end of a few masechtos. It's the end of brachos. The tzaddikim are called builders. Then it must have been my fault that these other side, that these righteous leaders were powerless to include me in the building of holiness which they built. So Rabbi Avram Sternhardt says to Rav Matla Shaychitz, he says, I looked at Rav Matla Shaychitz and he looked back at me. Neither of us could believe what we were hearing. We stood there transfixed as Rav Pinchas Yeshua went on. When building a building, he said, a mason gathers all the stones that he needs for the first level of the building and begins by cutting and chipping away at the corners. He forms the stones so that each one fits properly into place. When he's finished the first level, he again gathers the stones he needs and shapes them so that he can then erect the second level. And so it goes level after level. At each level, the mason must make sure that all the stones he uses for the building are suitably formed. Many times we see that builders come across certain odd-shaped stones, which they try to use, only to find them too awkward to be made into a proper fit. In the end, they have no choice but to discard them. The same is true in spirituality. The great tzaddikim tried to build by attempting to rectify the Jewish souls. The Torah calls these souls stones. The tzaddikim work hard at this. Each stone they come across, every soul they encounter, they do their very best to fit into the building of holiness they try to erect. Rav Pinchas Yehoshua interrupted his words with a long, deep sigh. Then, with an even greater intensity, he began again. When it was my soul's turn to play its part in the building, I came before this great Tana. He attempted to correct me, but found that he could not. He worked very hard to shape me, trying all different angles. But no matter what he tried, it didn't work. As soon as he corrected me on one side, I was found to be crooked on another side. Whichever way he turned my soul, it was still impossible for him to find me a place in his building. Seeing that it was futile, this Tana just left me alone. There was absolutely nothing he could do. The exact same thing happened the second time my soul descended into this world. And so it was with every subsequent reincarnation. All the tzaddikim tried to rectify me, but their efforts failed. I was left alone through all those generations, thrown away like an odd-shaped stone to be thrown and kicked about forever. Yet God, whose kindness is forever, wants all the Jews to be rectified, no matter what they've done. He saw my difficulties and sent me back to this world again. But this time in my current reincarnation, I found something completely new, a tzaddik with a building power which I had never seen before in any of my previous incarnations. This was Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. All the upper worlds tremble in fear of his greatness and his holiness. Rabbi Nachman believed that a person can always come close to God no matter how distant he was. In a strong voice he called out from the depths of his heart, never give up, never despair. This Rabbi Nachman described himself as a river which can cleanse all stains. From creation until today, there was never a tzaddik who spoke such words and with such strength and such power. And in addition to hearing about Rabbi Nachman, God gave me the privilege of knowing Rabbi Nachman's closest disciple, Rabbi Nosson. He taught me Rabbi Nachman's lessons and brought me to serve God. This is where I am now. And now when I think about this, and I cannot help but wonder, how, after being so distant from God all those years, how is it possible that I should merit such a great light? How could someone so undeserving come to know of Rabbi Nachman? I only understood this after I studied the Hallel. It says in the Hallel, Evan Masu Abanim Haisel Reish Pina, the stone despised by all the builders became the cornerstone. This soul, the very same soul which had been discarded by all the great tzaddikim, has now come to a tzaddik who is the cornerstone, the foundation of the entire world. This has come from God. Meis Hashem Haisel Zayis Niflas Beineinu, it is wonderful in our eyes. It is truly wondrous how God deals with every single soul, making certain that it achieves its tikkun. The great tzaddikim never give up trying to correct all the souls, because this is what God truly wants. I saw from all of this, Rabbi Pinchas Yeshua concluded, that no matter what happens to us, we must understand that there is salvation. We can always come back to God. And this is why the next words we say in the Hallel are, Zahayayim Asah Hashem, Lagilo V'nismachabai. This day God has made, we will rejoice. For this day, in our generation, God gave us such a great leader, Rabbi Nachman, who instilled in us the faith to always turn to God, no matter where we are. God will then redeem the Jewish people, and we will have nothing but great joy and happiness all the rest of our days. Amen. And anything like that that was ever written, to ever see such a thing from a Jew. And many try to understand the koyach of Rabbi Nachman, which of course can't be put into any words. But to understand why is it that the davka at the end of time, that there's such an unbelievable hisayrus to hear from Rabbi Nachman, to see his tirus, to hear his stories. And I was thinking about how Hashgacha Pratis, that I was thanking Hashem's Baruch myself after I saw this. This was in the back of the English Haggadah, that there was something, as usual, something else that I was looking for that I remembered and I wanted to show one of my children. And I came across this. And when I read it a few times, and I was thinking how personally grateful I am. What an unbelievable schus. So I remember that for many years I was learning Chassidus Sfarim for many, many years. I mean, for many, many, I'm not that old, but as far as the proportion of my life is concerned, I started to learn Chassidus Sfarim from the time that I was maybe 11 years old, 10 years old. And many times I had asked relatives of mine, the ones who were really watching what I was learning in Chassidus, what about Rabbi Nachman? Because I heard about Rabbi Nachman, and my relatives would say, Chai Moshe, Rabbi Nachman is Zeya Grois, very, very big, but it's not for us. Very, very big, Zeya Grois, not for us, Nishtalans. And, you know, I accepted that, I trusted them, and they were, I'm sure, right for telling me that at that time. And it stuck with me. And then as I got older, there were different people that I met, and I would say, what about Rabbi Nachman? Same thing, Rabbi Nachman, Zeya Grois. Rabbi Nachman is very, very great, but it's too much, it's not for us. And then at some point, I read one of the stories, even though I had been warned so many times by very Elohim Eden about things. I read one of the stories, and I felt that I was doing something that I shouldn't be doing. You know, that's when you enjoy something the most, right? And I read one of the stories, and that was it. It was, and then I discovered that Zicha, 100%, it is for us. Adarabba, not only is it for us, but our generation, Evan Masu Habayim, this generation that's going to be the cornerstone of the Beis Hamikdash, our generation, with all on the Sionis, that we're Davka, the generation that's going to greet Mashiach Tzekeinu. The Jews that could be the Neshamas Davka, the last Neshamas at the end of time, that have been discarded by other Tzaddikim over time, it's hard to know. On ourselves, do we know? We don't understand. This Rav Pinchas Yeshua was able to see earlier lifetimes. We don't even see this lifetime that we're in at all. But the Rebbe Nachman was a river that mamish cleans all stains and removes all pegamim, all blemishes. The whole Indian of Rebbe Nachman was to tell us not to give up, and that we could come back to Hashem Yisbarach. That Davkin, our generation, the last stones that are necessary to build the binyan of Kaimas Yisrael, of the Jewish people, to build the third Beis HaMikdash, that they don't fit so perfectly in our generation, especially seeing Jews that they want to hear what Rabbi Nachman says, and other people tell them the same thing that I heard. Other people say, no, he was a very holy person, but it's not, his teachings are not for us. The Davke, Haisel Reish Pina, and Me'es Hashem Haisa Zois. It's important to remember that of course we have tremendous zechia, tremendous schus, that Hashem Baruch has brought us, that we're zeichet to be able to learn the Svar Makadoshim, that even though the way that we were raised, everybody here, maybe there are one or two people an exception, but whoever was raised here was raised not in a way that we should have been exposed to the Svar Makadoshim, and certainly not certainly not to the summer of Rabbi Nachman. And there's an hashgacha pratis that the neshama drives a person, pushes a person to dafka to connect to Rabbi Nachman's tires. The Rabbi Nachman's tires a dafka for those neshamas that are looking for that place to fit in, and they don't necessarily always fit in exactly the way that this expected to fit in, which doesn't mean to say, just like the Pinchas Yeshua, we're not talking about strange or odd people. We're talking about the sheifas that don't fit into the matzav of the world that we're in. And a person through Rabbi Nachman, a person can find a way back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's mamash something that someone has to be grateful for. Obviously, we're not zeichet to call ourselves chassidim. Not chassidim bechlal. Whether bechlal nowadays there are even Jews left that are called be'emes chassidim. Maybe there's a minion someplace like that. The Satmar Rav already said that in our time we really don't know anymore. The Torah of Baal Shem is not clear to us anymore exactly. But the Rebbe Nachman said that he would his fire would burn until Mashiach would come, and the davke before Mashiach comes, these last few minutes, that the fire is becoming even stronger and more beautiful and more and glowing and warming. That's something that we have to be grateful for. So whoever feels inside of him, inside of her, that Rabbi Nachman's stories, Rabbi Nachman's Torah, Rabbi Nachman's life has a special way of pulling you, so it might not be far-fetched to say that maybe we have something in a tiny little way in common with that tzaddik of Pinchas Yeshua, that for some reason it could be that over the generations there are souls that just don't find peace until they come to Rabbi Nachman. That's a davar yadua, it's known. The neshamas that can't find menucha until they come to Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman was very, very, very big. And all the tzaddikim, of course, all the tzaddikim are great, but the way that Rabbi Nachman called out to the Jews at the end of time is a chiddush, is something different, there's something new. We're going to talk more about it as Hashem. There's a hisayrus now. There's a hisayrus all over. Unbelievable hisayrus. There's Baruch Hashem. I spoke to two or three of the chaverim about this. There's right now. There are some. Unbelievable things that are going on by Tzeinu HaKadosh and Eretz Yisrael. You'll be seeing Mitzvah Hashem soon. They'll be coming out with Pirsumim to announce the opening of a new yeshiva in Yerushalayim. The Bez Hashem, I could say publicly because it's already been confirmed that Rav Osher Weiss is going to be the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Osher Zelig Weiss. We're going to have a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yimei is involved, Lahav Lam involved. And the Stachina and others said, and big people are working to build a yeshiva for Americans, where it's going to be learning nigla on the highest level with chassidus, na avoda, not to have to hide and be embarrassed like in many of the yeshivas. You know, you can't get caught with a safe on the table, or somebody will think that you're one of the stones that don't fit, and they want to throw you out. But that a person should be able to sit and to learn, and to learn the Sram HaKadoshim, and to be proud of who we are and what we want. And how we want to be dovek to Hashem, and Rav Simei is going to be involved in the yeshiva, and Bez Hashem, and Rav Moshe Wolfson, Bez Hashem, is involved in the yeshiva to build such a yeshiva, and that we're living in this time something that people wouldn't have believed as possible, wouldn't have dreamt of a few years ago, that the time has come for the Torah of the tzaddikim to be revealed. And this is something which in my mind is such a strong indication that we're coming to that time. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh revealed to his brother-in-law, to Reb Gershon Kitover, Emosai Ka'os Yimalach Sheyefutza Ma'inasech HaChutza, the Mashiach is going to come when the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh are going to spread forth into the world. And when I read this, what we just read together, I had such a strong hisayrus, such a powerful service this morning. I had such a service just to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was zeichet to be part of that, and Hashem Yisbarach should help us to continue that we should be part of it in good health. We're talking about, let's continue to talk about what we were up to last week. Abchaikel v'chazen. At this point in Rabbi Nachman's life, he's no longer living with his in-laws in Husiatin, but he's in Medvedevka, and he's already at this point, he's already been revealed and known as a tzaddik and a big Baal Maifas, and people are beginning to gather around him. And he has at this time a small but very, very intense and very special following. One of the chassidim was this tzaddik Reb Chaikel HaChazan. And I mentioned at the end last week that Reb Chaikel saved Rabbi Nachman's life. What happened? We mentioned earlier that Rabbi Nachman, even though he did not teach this as a way for the chassidim, he himself engaged in prolonged fasting. It's something which is not b'derech teva. It's safe to say that Rabbi Nachman fasted during his life more fast days than eating days in his life. His fasting was something which was not b'derech teva. It was something beyond this world. Now, the question is that now that he's a married man, how does his wife allow such a thing, right? She was a good Jewish wife, so how could it be that he could fast this way? So she would prepare him every day. She would prepare him his meals, and the meals would be given to the Mishares, to the Shamas, and that was the responsibility of the Shamas to make sure that Rabbi Nachman would be brought his meals. And Rabbi Nachman made some sort of an arrangement that the Shamas himself actually would eat those meals. So it probably wasn't too hard to make that arrangement. The Shamas himself ate the meals, and he was a very simple person, and he thought it's gevaldik because it was better than the regular stuff that was going around town, and it was the food of a tzaddik, and he was very excited about that. And Rabbi Nachman made him swear that he would not tell anybody about this, especially the Rebbetzin. The Rebbetzin was 15 years old, but she was already like an old Rebbetzin. So that the Rebbetzin wouldn't tell anybody, he wouldn't tell the Rebbetzin about this. And the Misharis, of course, the Shamas was smart. He was having a chias, he didn't tell anybody. Now, I mentioned at the end last week that this Reb Chaikel, the Chazan, was so, so beloved by Rabbi Nachman that he was one of the few that Mamash was going in and out of the house. And going in and out where Rabbi Nachman was, he was able to spend a lot of time there. And he began to notice that there was something funny going on, how Rabbi Nachman, he never saw him eating at all, he didn't see him eating. And he began to do some investigations, and he began to watch and go to the house to see that the food is being prepared and given to the Shabbos. But after a couple of days, Rabbi Chaikel the Chazan saw the Shabbos going to eat the food, and that it was never reaching Rabbi Nachman. And obviously, Rabbi Chaikel was extremely distressed about this. And he went to Rabbi Nachman a few times, and he saw Rabbi Nachman's physical situation was deteriorating terribly. He was unbelievably weak, and he went to Rabbi Nachman a few times and asked him to please eat. And Rabbi Nachman said, "This is my way. Please don't interfere with my way." Until finally, Rabbi Chaikel said, "Rabbi, if you don't eat, I'm going to go right now and tell everybody that you're fasting. I'm going to go to the center of town and I'm going to announce that you're fasting. And the Rebbetzin, everybody's going to know." So Rabbi Nachman's way, kiddu as it's known, was b'chlal, not to be an action, was not stubbornness. We'll talk a lot about that mitzvah later on. So when he said that, which is a pretty good threat, that he was going to tell, Chaikel was going to tell everybody, so Rabbi Nachman said, Chaikel, go in and prepare some soup. Go prepare a bowl of soup. So he ran to, now in those days you couldn't run to Chapanash or Milmot or Mosin or something. You couldn't run to a place to get, or to the grocery to get little cubes or something and pop them into water. You had to go. And Chaikel also knew how careful Rabbi Nachman was with every single thing he put into his mouth. So Chaikel went and he bought a live chicken. And Chaikel himself was a sheikhet, and he shechted the chicken, he prepared the chicken. All this was done very, very quickly, and he prepared soup, and he was very excited. He was pashut nervous. He was mamish nervous that Rabbi Nachum was, God forbid, going to pass out, was in danger of dying. That's how weak and how malnourished, undernourished Rabbi Nachum was. So it says Rabbi Nelson said that he was so worried. Rabbi Heichel was so worried that when he bought the chicken, as he was running from the market with the chicken to go to the place he was going to shech, he was plucking up all the feathers while he was running. He was so worried of Rabbi Nachman dying. So he finally brought the soup, and he had it on the side where nobody should see. And it was just time for Maariv, and Rabbi Nachman and Dav Maariv, Heichel Dav Maariv, and then everybody left. And Rabbi Nachman sat down, and Rabbi Heichel, the chazan, brought him this bowl of soup. And Rabbi Nachman closed his eyes for a few minutes, and he said, "Nu Heichel, zing dem frum nigen." There's a nigen that's called the frum nigen. It's a nigen mein olam haba, a rest of a nigen, mein olam haba. And he said to Rabbi Heichel, "Zing dem frum nigen. Before I eat, I want to hear the frum nigen." This Rabbi Heichel was a gewaldige, unbelievable tefillah chazan. So, okay, why not? So Rabbi Heichel began to sing the Nigen, and Rabbi Nachman instructed him to sing again, and the two of them became completely, totally swept up in the Nigen and lost in this Nigen. All we know is Rabbi Nelson said that he heard afterwards from Rabbi Heichel years later that by the time Rabbi Nachman opened his eyes, he said to Rabbi Heichel to go outside, he gives my kriyash mishal shachris, the sun already came up, it was time to daven shachris. They were singing this one niggun throughout the entire night. And at that point, they forgot about the soup. I mean, Heichel, the soup was cold already for a long time. And it was that Rabbi Nachman didn't taste of that soup. But Rabbi Heichel said that he was completely and totally strengthened and reinvigorated by the Nigen, and then Rabbi Nachum went to the mikveh, and he came back and he davened shachris, screaming and jumping and leaping like a newborn child. He had such kaiches. That's how Rabbi Nachum heard a Nigen from Rabbi Heichel the Chazan. And there are quite a few stories about this Rabbi Heichel. We'll talk more about Rabbi Heichel when we discuss the kaich of Nagina according to Rabbi Nachum's teachings, and we also will see how Rabbi Nachum pretty much took Rabbi Heichel wherever he went and would send him up to be the Baal Tefila. He held Rabbi Heichel to be a big tzaddik. At this time, as things go, the Machloikis was beginning against Rabbi Nachman. The beginning of the Machloikis was from... It started with some of the Rabbanim in that town, in Medevdeke, that the Rabbanim there were not pleased with the mitzias of hundreds of Jews coming to see Rabbi Nachman and to daven with him. This caused the machlokes in town, and there were Rabbanim who already were speaking Lashon Hara and were trying to run him out of town. And Rabbi Nelson said that one time, Rabbi Nachum was sitting by the table with the Chassidim, and I just want to remind you that we're talking about a young man of 21 years old, and many of the Chassidim were, as we said last week, were 50, 60, 70 years old, great tzaddikim and talmid chacham. Rabbi Nachum was sitting at the table, and they began to sing a nigin for the pasuk in Tehillim, Lulei Hashem Shahaya Lanu, that if Hashem would not be with us, if Hashem, David HaMelech said, if Hashem would not be with us, we'd be lost, we'd be destroyed. And Rabbi Nachum was singing this nigin a few times with Rabbi Heichel the Chazan leading everybody. And then Rabbi Nachum turned to the Olam and he said to the people that were there the following. This is what Rabbi Nachum wrote. Adain ein atem nachshavim mi'anoshim sheli. Rabbi Nachman said, "You think that you're my Chassidim. you think that you're my people, my followers. He says, you're not yet considered to be my Hasidim. The time is going to come that the entire world is going to fight with me. The entire world is going to have machlokes with me. Then in those days, whoever strengthens himself and will remain with me despite all the opposition, that person will be be'emes, considered to be one of my people. Those who will remain with me, when the machlokes will become a big machlokes. And that's something which would intensify beyond anything imaginable during the life of Rabbi Nosson. Mitzvah Shem will talk about that. For those who want to get a little bit of a taste of it, of what that machlokes was like, if you read Through Fire and Water on the life of Rabbi Nosson Breslover, which is, you have to have a little bit of time for that, it's a good 400, 500 pages. If you read Through Fire and Water, you're going to see what Rabbi Nachman meant when he said there's going to be a time when the whole world is going to fight with me, when the whole world is going to make machlokes with me. And that was not mekuyim during Rabbi Nachman's lifetime, although he had plenty of tzaros with machlokes wherever he went. There was a lot of tzaros. And if not for Ablev Yitzchak Baditshever, Rabbi Nachman would not have been able to continue. As we'll see, Mitzvah Shem will talk about that. Ablev Yitzchak Baditshever, the Balatanya, those that continued to support him despite the machlokes. But after Rabbi Nachman died, the Bizyonis, that those who followed the teachings of Rabbi Nachman, what they had to endure, it's mamish beyond belief. That's why, when, in our generation, our times, there have been different machlokes in between Hasidic groups. And I remember when there was a certain, I must go back here, it goes back over 30 years, there was a certain machlokes that was going on in Brooklyn, a very big machlokes, and something happened. And I remember that I came home and I said to my father, Daddy, I can't believe what happened today with these chassidim, what they did, this one, that, the two groups, what went on. My father started to laugh and he said, what are you talking about? This is for children. He says, he used to be Leibedik back in the old days that they had in Europe. My father said, he mentioned a particular machlokes. This is one that's not necessary to say, a machlokes between two different groups of chassidim. My father said, burning down stores, you know, like crazy stuff, mamish crazy stuff. He said, this is a couple of beatings. That used to be Kaseda, you know, when people believe in something very, very strongly. And then on top of that, in every group of people, you'll always have a couple of guys that stomp, you know, should be locked up. So it can always make for interesting disagreements. But the story of the machlokes against Rabbi Nachman from Breslau and his chassidim is something that defies understanding. It's not of this world, and the only way to understand it is by going back to what we just read a few minutes ago, that when you have such a koyach, when you have a koyach in the world that's able to mamish clean every single stain from the world, we understand that there's going to be huge machlokes. It's going to be a very big fight with the other side when it comes to such a tzaddik who tells the entire world and everybody, no matter what anybody has done, never give up, and to give ways and aitzes, practical aitzes, how to build yourself up again, no matter what you've done. So then that's a very big threat to the other side. And the other side is able to make use even of great people and El Chayim to be part of the machlokes. We're going to talk about that more later on. But this was the beginning of the machlokes. It was starting to get uncomfortable for the chassidim of Rabbi Nachman. But at this point, Rabbi Nachman said, this is nothing. You're not even my followers yet. You'll be my followers when the machlokes gets really tough. In the meantime, it hasn't happened. The descriptions that we have from these early Talmidim are of Shabbos Rabbi Nachman, which would be kedai to read inside. Maybe we'll focus that next time. What Shabbos was like. That I read to you a few sentences. This from Rabbi Nosson, so you get a feeling for this. It says, Rabbi Nosson writes, "V'einav hayumi iris k'shemesh v'chayerech mamish." He says, always, Rabbi Nachman's eyes were shining mamish, like the sun, like the moon. That's his eyes were shining. And the frat b'Shabbos kodesh hayu einav mi'iris ma'od ma'od. And particularly on Shabbos, his eyes were shining in a very, very remarkable way. And his face was always shining and dark red, very red, on Shabbos. Whoever hadn't seen, didn't see the holiness and the fiery coals of his attachment to Hashem on Shabbos, say that kiddush shalai b'lel Shabbos kiddush, say that shulchan v'hanigin. And whoever didn't see his kiddush and the way that he conducted the table Shabbos, shayim mazama askinus adals and azama b'shvachin, and how we would sing all the zmiyos kol mekadosh menuch v'simcha yishchal min olam haba. Mishalai ra azayis Rabbi Nosson wrote, lay ra tuv me olam. Whoever didn't see Rabbi Nachman on Shabbos didn't see anything good in his life. Kol misha amad oz ba'isay mamad. Whoever was fortunate to be present with Rabbi Nachman on Shabbos, how you made could testify shloiyah nirik hazayis, that there could never ever be such a thing. Actually, Yavam Mashiach came. I mean, we don't understand the means to testify on the future, but there could never be such a thing until Mashiach Zekeinu would come. And the dveikus on Shabbos, the tzaddik of Nosson says that he remembers that one time after Kiddush, so everybody went and washed their hands for Hamaitzi, and everybody washed, and Rabbi Nachman washed, and they sat down, and they all waited for Rabbi Nachman, and Rabbi Nachman made Hamaitzi. And after Rabbi Nachman had a little piece of challah, Rabbi Nachman went into a state of dveikus, and he sat silently with his eyes open, and Rabbi Nosson said that he didn't blink at all. His eyes were totally open, were just wide open, and in a state of dveikus, and they didn't bring any food to the table. They were afraid. They were just afraid to continue with the meal. And Rabbi Nosson said that they sat this way through the entire Friday night. They were afraid to do anything, until finally Rabbi Nosson instructed them that they have to bench and to go and get ready for Shachris, Shabbos morning. And they tiptoed out of the room and left Rabbi Nachman there, I guess without a mezuzah. But they left Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nosson says this was a Friday night occurrence by Rabbi Nachman. Now, other descriptions that we have from the Talmidim of that time. Before we get to Rabbi Naftali and Rabbi Nosson, two of us who are considered his closest disciples, another amazing Jew became his Talmud during this time, his chassid. And that's his own brother, Rabbi Chiel. His own brother. What happened here is that there was a maaser that Rabbi Chiel, who loved his brother dearly, but he had his own way in his own life, and he wasn't with Rabbi Nachman. He would occasionally go to visit Rabbi Nachman, not his brother. So it happened once that Rabbi Chiel spent Shabbos with Rabbi Nachman, and he felt a tremendous aliyah that Shabbos with his brother, with Rabbi Nachman. And it was all very, very beautiful in his eyes, and his heart was beginning to turn towards his brother in such a way to be mamish, a follower. But then something happened at the Suda, at the meal, Shabbos morning, that caused Rabbi Chiel to be upset. At the Shabbos morning meal, Rabbi Nachman asked the Chassidim what's doing in the world, what's new in the world, what's happening, meaning in Russia, in Europe, different, you know, what's going on, face with politics, with the world. And the few of the Chassidim told Rabbi Nachman what was going on. Rabbi Chiel was very, very upset about that, and it stared him so much. How could it be that this is what his brother, this Rabbi Nachman, Shabbos morning by the table, he's talking about such things. Anyway, after Shabbos ended, Rabbi Nachman called for Rabbi Chiel, for his brother, and he invited him into the room and he locked the door. Rabbi Chiel told what happened, but Rabbi Nachman asked him, Yechiel, do you remember the news this morning at the table? So Rabbi Chiel said he remembers a little bit, he doesn't remember all the news. So Ibn Achman said over the news again that was spoken about at the table that morning. And then Rabbi Nachman, through the entire night, that entire Mitzvah Shabbos, Rabbi Nachman explained every single thing that was going on in the Torahs that he was saying through Shabbos. And he explained deeper and deeper and deeper how everything that was going on in the world were the Torahs that he was talking about. And he explained it in the Torahs and how everything was going on. And then he told them what was going to be happening the next day in the world from these Torahs and from what happened that day, Shabbos, and the Erev Shabbos in the world. And Rabbi Chiel said that he was completely overwhelmed by this, and he began crying, and he was filled with a tremendous gagum, and he said that, with longing for Hashem Yisbarach and for his brother, and he said that it was many days and nights that he couldn't eat and he couldn't sleep, and he decided to go and to bring his family, and he moved and he spent the rest of Rabbi Nachman's life together with Rabbi Nachman. That's how Rabbi Chiel became himself, his own brother became one of his biggest chassidim. He was also a big tzaddik, but he became one of his followers. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll begin with the photo stat that you have in front of you in Hebrew about this inyan of Rabbi Nachman with the news. We'll talk a little bit more about it, and then next week we'll talk about Rabbi Naftali and Rabbi Nosson Breslin.